When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
ENN brought to you tonight by our friends over at Sloman's. So much to get into, but I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Don.
God, the gas I would have after that.
And good evening to myself.
How would they not have enough to compete with that load?
And to Bear and Rocky.
Yep. So how did you get on
yep.
that load? How did you get on dog watch?
Oh, today we have a lot. There's a lot going on today because we're leaving town tomorrow. So dog watch has been going great, actually. But the problem is my parents also arrived during the show, which led to the explosion of animals. These animals are generally pretty quiet until someone appears in the hallway. And now because they're getting old and their sense isn't always exactly perfect, sometimes, Don, they think people are in the hallway and there is, in fact, no one in the hallway. I'd like to say good evening to Don again.
I go to the Arby's there.
Thank you.
God, the gas I would have after that.
And to Stephen A.
Guess what? I'm Stephen A. And I act the way that I act.
No debate in that.
Love that, man.
It's hard.
Well, guys, a lot of NBA to talk, and it's happening fast and furious. It's happening. It's like the episode of The Office. Michael Scott running out. A lot of stuff happening. We'll try to keep you up with everyone. Bobby Portis agrees to a 4-year, $49 million deal to return to the Bucks. Malik Monk signing a 2-year, $19 million deal to join the Kings. P.J. Tucker joining Andrew in Philadelphia, 3-year, $33 million, fully guaranteed with the Sixers. Oladipo, 1-year, $11 million, back to Miami. DeAndre Jordan has agreed to a deal with the Denver Nuggets. The Phoenix Suns and Devin Booker are finalizing a 4-year, $214 million Supermax contract. So,
maybe a future net.
Or maybe not. Or maybe a long-time Phoenix Sun.
Yeah.
Joker has agreed to a 5-year, $264 million Supermax extension with the Nuggets. The richest deal in NBA history. The fifth season of this deal, 2027-2028, will be a player option at $60 million.
Oh.
Holy crap.
I think that's worth
that
more than the holy crap.
Exercise.
Okay.
There's a lot happening. Let's go to earlier today. Brian Windhorst at sea, in space, his initial reaction to the KD trade demand.
A couple of things right now that I just want to say in the instant wake of this news. Number one, it appears as if the Brooklyn Nets are going to honor the request and try to find a trade for Kevin Durant. And I will tell you that teams have been working on for this contingency for the last few days. They will hit the ground running. It would not be surprised to me if it happens relatively soon. The second thing is, I believe this will also mean Kyrie Irving will potentially be on the trade market as well. I believe that they will probably trade both of them how that can be worked out and how that all play out. The Nets didn't want status quo. They're not going to have status quo.
No.
And I think we're going to see a pretty significant power balance. Kevin Durant is one of the top three or four players in the league. This will dramatically affect the balance of power in the NBA. It will dramatically affect how next season and the next few seasons will play out.
Bradley Beal, 5 years, $251 million to stay with the Wizards.
God, he's been on the market for how long? Now he'll end up spending his whole career there.
I really hope that they're able to get something for him to play with. Because, my lord. Now, if you didn't catch this little note to the Kevin Durant saga, Woj reporting a couple hours ago that KD made the trade request directly to Josi. Yeah, no call to the great Sean Marks, who we love. Zach Lowe on NBA Today saying this is an epic failure for the Nets.
Let's not sugarcoat this. This is an organizational catastrophe of epic proportions.
Epic.
You tore down your entire team, all the culture that you bragged about in every article,
which you would do
10 times out of 10 to get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Then you traded, at almost their request or approval, all the picks you had to go get James Harden. And now you're left with Ben Simmons maybe looking around like, whoa, remember me, Ben Simmons? I haven't played in 14 months. Is anyone left on the team? Who are you? Nice to meet you. It's an organizational catastrophe, the likes of which we've rarely have ever seen in the NBA. And so you have to say if, because you just don't know what the fallout's going to be.
I just feel bad that the Nets are now like the yo-yos.
But Don, when you think about it, didn't they, on some level, they took a swing for the cheap, easy, in theory, route to a championship.
Right.
They were building a culture with the players they had, with Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen and Kenny Atkinson. This was a team that was on the bill. They were going the right direction, Don. They had that series with Philadelphia. It was starting to feel like something was happening. Understandably, they were willing to risk it all, and they came up snake eyes.
I get it, and it's easy to look back at it now and say, see, they were morons. They should have just kept, stayed the course. But part of the reason you stay the course is to hope upon hope that you can free up the cap space or attract big-name free agents, right? That's what the Knicks are trying to do. That's what every team's trying to do. That's what cap space is for, to go out and get players. So they get Kyrie and KD, and at the time, I don't think people were overly critical. Now, maybe going after Harden was too much. Maybe allowing them to choose the head coach was too much. But at that point, when you decide to get into a relationship with two of the best players in basketball, how would it look if they didn't acquiesce to their demands? They did, and they still bailed on them. So I think it's easy after the fact to say it was a huge mistake, but at the time, Peter, just remembering this show, the only time we thought they were a bit excessive was getting Harden.
Well, that one from the jump to me was a bad idea. I thought that was just trying too hard, bro. And that one proved out very quickly. The other ones, you're right, hard to really question it, because most teams in the same situation would have done the exact same thing.
And listen, the Harden thing might have been excessive, but that might be a pretty good exit strategy too, because they still got Simmons, and if he can ever get his act together, he's a really good player. So it wasn't that devastating to the organization, and as far as how he feels about the current situation, does anybody care?
Let's hear from Tim Bontemps on just how big a deal this Durant trade demand is for the NBA.
Kevin Durant is one of the 10 or 12 best players in the history of basketball. He signed for the next 4 years, and he's about to be traded to another team. There are very few moments in the NBA, history of the NBA, frankly, that are bigger than this. When you talk about players of this magnitude, even at 34 years old, to be a player of this caliber, changing teams, it is a seismic moment in the league. To Brian's point about a change in the power balance, wherever Kevin Durant goes, he's not going to go to a team, in theory, that's completely devoid of assets once they trade for him. He's going to go to a team that's going to be able to contend for a championship. And we spent all week talking about the Brooklyn Nets and where they're going to be in the East. What, they get good players back. They can still be a pretty good team. But wherever Kevin Durant goes, they're going to be one of the three or four teams that has a chance to win the championship. And guys like this just are not traded very often. You know, when Anthony Davis was traded a few years ago, that was a big deal. That's nothing compared to Kevin Durant being traded.
All right, so do we have the right to be dubious for whoever trades for him? Like, this is going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, trade in NBA history. Do we get to criticize whoever makes the deal? Are they taking a risk? They're going to give up a ton of assets to get him. How do we know 2 years from now he's not going to want out? So is there any risk in that?
Of course, Don, anything related, to be honest with these dudes, how can you say it's not a risk? It's all on the table. Now, Brian Windhorst also said the Lakers have a package ready for KD and Kyrie.
But it has been floated to me by executives that
if
they were be kept together, that the Lakers would potentially have a package that you could trade for both of them.
Let's go,
Richard.
But we don't know. It's too fragile because we just don't know where KD and Kyrie are, if they're still interested in together. But it would take, after seeing what happened when they were together, almost no team with options would do it. But the Lakers don't have options. So that's the only place I heard it was possible.
Send it.
But
Russ,
we don't have enough. We don't really have enough information to know.
Do people want to see it happen?
Was that Richard Jefferson getting that animated? Why is he so excited?
Because it's exciting to think about a team that has both of them on it, as if we just forgot 5 minutes ago the Nets had both guys.
Well, and also, isn't Richard Jefferson sort of a Net affiliate? I'm sorry. You know what? Let me just mind my business.
No, I feel like I'm being a Net apologist, but I just feel like the Nets come across as the morons, and yet now everybody is going to sit there and praise whoever ends up getting both of these. If the Lakers end up getting Kyrie and KD, it's going to be celebrated as how brilliant the Lakers are because they're the Lakers. But when the Nets screw up, it's all they don't know what they're doing. It's their fault they got in bed with those two guys. But meanwhile, everybody's all excited about the next destination they both might be in. Are we gonna kill whatever? If they decide to trade them as a package deal, is that team that does it going to get praised? Or are we going to go, oh, be careful? Oh, I don't know. I guess it'll depend on who does it.
A friend of mine, my buddy G-Spin, who's a Celtics fan also, hit me up and sort of made a joke about, get Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and a pick, and get KD. He was half joking, but I said, I'm good. Honestly, I'm good. And I say it with all due respect, knowing that KD is on a different level than Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the risk, if you're a team moving valuable pieces that have already proven to be good, I'm just using them as an example, but anywhere, even with KD, it makes me nervous. The whole thing's been just too unsure.
It's going to end poorly. It's just a matter whether you can get that championship in the meantime.
Last thing from Brian Windhorst, he says Durant's contract in this trade makes it even a bigger deal.
Because he's got 4 years on his contract, his value is extraordinary. Because most players, star players who force trades only have a year or two. So trading for him is trading for the rest of his prime. The other thing I'm going to say is that the Nets owe... The Rockets have control of the next four Nets drafts. Okay. They either have the picks themselves or swap rights. It does not behoove the Nets to tank.
Right.
To go all the way down because they don't control their draft. So when the Nets are looking for this trade here, as you think about teams that they can go to, they're going to want, in the interim snap here, my opinion, talking to people around the league, they're going to want players that can help them continue to be a competitive team now.
Let's go back over to Woj's Twitter page. See if anything exciting has happened in the last 5 minutes. Free agent guard Lu Dort has agreed to a 5-year, $87.5 million deal with the OKC Thunder. You may remember him from his 80s golf series, Dort on Golf.
I was going to say... If you ask me whether the chances are you made that name up, I would say, yeah, it's a good chance.
Andrew, how good is Lu Dort?
He's okay. He had a good bubble in the postseason a couple years ago. So he's all right.
Got himself like $16, $17 million a year.
That's all right money.
Let's see. Don, you excited about Amir Coffee signing a three-year, $11 million deal?
Oh, I like coffee.
At Dunkin' Donuts, not in your house.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, this is very interesting. We somehow, think about the sports day we had that this never came up on a sports talk radio show. Sources are saying that USC and UCLA are trying to move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. Which, by the way, Don, if that happens, I'm good with just completely canceling the conferences altogether.
Oh, because it's silly.
It's Jabroni Pumpleduck. It's
not. How do you have
Jabroni Pumpleduck?
The Pac-12 doesn't have USC and UCLA in it.
And now
the Big
listen.
Ten does. And how many teams would there be in the Big Ten now?
30. Let's be real. You know what we should do, Don? The Big Ten should become the Northern Conference. The SEC should be the Southern Conference. Within each of those conferences, you have four or five divisions, like the NFL, and you start over again. This thing's in the words of Don LaGreca, college conferences are a joke.
It's Tonka truck.
I mean, whatever.
But they want to put super conferences together. I get it. But it kind of just gets away from.
Well, how do you even keep the Pac-12 going without USC and UCLA? That's a lot of pressure on Oregon.
Oh, a ton. You know,
Stanford.
I
Washington.
Guess, listen, it all doesn't matter because it used to be, well, Pac-10 teams, they would play to go to the Rose Bowl, right? And but it doesn't matter anymore because none of those bowls matter because they're all just part of, like, the playoff. It's not even remotely close to the way it was. And I guess that's the way they want it.
Back to basketball. Knicks fans. Stephen A. doesn't sound super excited about it, but...
Oh, you think?
Bing bong!
Stephen A. was great today.
Stephen A. brought the heat. He brought the ruckus, and he brought
Guess
a bucket...
I'm Stephen A., and I act the way that I act.
And he brought a bucket of cold water and tossed it all over Knicks fans. Jalen Brunson expected to get offered 4 years, at least $100 million, may land around $110 million. That is expected to happen shortly. But Stephen A., on with us earlier... just doesn't sound like he's thrilled. Doesn't
Not
think it's enough.
At all. And he made some very compelling points on why he feels the way that he does. I mean, first of all, we talked about it. It's not necessarily a needle mover. And look how they had to go at, you know, getting him and his dad coaching the team.
It's weird.
It's weird. You know, because we're talking about the way the Nets bent over backwards for their two players, and this is what the Knicks are doing for not quite the same.
Now, Don, I have a follow-up to one of the big stories we've been following all week on ENN.
Talk to me.
And that's about Freddie Freeman and the agent saga.
Yes.
So it started a week ago. With the audio of Freddie Freeman just absolutely, or Monday, whatever it was, absolutely weeping when he went back to Atlanta.
I think it was Friday, right? Because they were playing. Wasn't that a weekend series with the Dodgers, Andrew?
Yeah, it was last Friday,
it was
right?
A week ago, yeah.
Yeah. So last Friday, we played the audio of Freddie Freeman just weeping about being back in Atlanta. It made us go, hey, we get it. You love being in Atlanta, but you didn't have to leave. Then we find out this week he fired his agent. and basically said that he was never told by his agent, Casey Close, that Atlanta had come back with another offer. Well, now we have a statement from Casey Close. I will not stand by as the circumstances surrounding Freddie Freeman's departure from Atlanta are mischaracterized. Since March, the Braves have fostered a narrative about the negotiations which, stated plainly, is false. Part of that false narrative is the suggestion that I did not communicate a contract offer to the Freemans. To be clear, we communicated every offer that was made, as well as every communication Excel had with the Braves organization throughout the entire process. I have a 30-year reputation in this business for integrity and honesty, and I have always operated with the utmost character. At Excel, we are privileged to represent many exemplary athletes, some of whom have chosen to spend their entire careers with one franchise. We always put the players' goals and best interests first, and will always continue to do so. I'll tell you this, it's a good statement. It may be total nonsense, or maybe 100% true. It's well put together.
But someone's lying. And Freeman fired Close, so is that's enough of a reason to believe that Freddie disagrees?
Or, yes, but I mean, in theory, it could be people within the Atlanta organization that are lying.
But
that are like,
Freddie
we don't know
chose
why you left. You didn't get that last offer? Oh, bro, what? Who knows?
Well, he chose to believe the Braves over his agent. So right. Freddie didn't believe Close, unless there's some other reason why he fired him. But circumstances would tell you that he felt like he was lied to and believed the Braves rather than Close and fired him. So we're never going to get resolution. He denies it. The Braves and I guess Freddie Freeman disagree. And now Close is out of a job because of it. And he lost a client, I should say. But I wish baseball would investigate it.
But a huge reputational hit, too, considering, Don, I never heard of Casey Close before this week.
No, I heard. He's a big time. I've heard of him.
He's up there?
Yes. Yes. I believe it was Derek Jeter's agent. I've definitely heard the name. He's not Scott Boras, but he's close.
Boras or Jace-esque?
Yeah. He's a big time. You know, Drew Rosenhaus, he's in that category.
Oh, wow,
like
he's in the highest echelon. Well, either way, but whether you're unfamiliar with him or you know everything about him, it's still reputationally, it's a huge news story.
Well, but here's the dangerous thing for Close, is that if he lost Freddie to the point where Freddie fired him, now, firing your agent after you already signed a 6-year contract, I mean, what's the big deal? You're not negotiating for him other than ancillary stuff. It's like, you know, for the next 6 years, his contract's already done with the Dodgers. But if Freeman starts to talk to his buddies, listen, don't trust this guy. I mean, it's not good to have a client upset to the point where you got fired. So he's got a lot of damage control to do, more so than I think the Braves do.
Last thing, WWE has officially signed media influencer, to put it mildly, and boxer Logan Paul to a multi-event deal. Into 2023.
Wow.
Yep, he will be at multiple premium live events. He'll make TV appearances. I got to tell you, he's been fantastic. Say what you want about the Pauls. Logan has won me over for his wrestling performances. He'll, in all likelihood, have a match with The Miz at SummerSlam. Also, WWE signed Valerie Lareda, the first Cuban-American woman in WWE. She had a great decorated career as a mixed martial artist in UFC and Bellator, and now she will join WWE. And that will do it for ENN. On this Thursday, it's brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell cam with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Love Keep it. Your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
I love what you did.
Thank you very much. And Don, now, we had the opportunity earlier to clear the phones, because the phones have been completely jammed for 3.5 hours. We were able to clear them for ENN, so now's your opportunity to get back in. Angry Nets fans, believe Nets fans,
who's
skeptical
this?
Knicks fans,
sure,
people preparing for the beach bash.
Is that right?
Right, Jews, Gentiles, women of all ages. You get the idea. 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don on a Thursday on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.